You are listening to a sermon by Rosie Pereira, recorded on Sunday, April 25th, 2021, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
When Laura told Sven what topic I was going to be speaking on, he said that would take an entire semester to cover the silence of God. And this is actually only going to be part one. I realized that this was a bigger topic than I could have one sermon for. So this part is focusing on when God is silent. And I hope to do part two sometime in the coming months, knowing God in the silence. I don't know about you, but I've experienced a lot more silence this pandemic year than I normally do. Mind you, I like silence. I'm a bit of a contemplative. I live alone and I don't usually have music on unless I'm intently listening to it. So I'm used to quietness. But COVID, with its cessation of the normal bustle of life, has brought silence to a new level. With nowhere to go, and no guests in our homes, the long hours spent in silence seem to stretch on interminably. In the words of Simon and Garfunkel, silence like a cancer grows. The Bible portrays God as being a God of the spoken word. According to the books of Moses, God spoke creation into being. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. And God spoke to the patriarchs and prophets of Israel. Samuel heard the voice of God audibly and replied, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." But people throughout history up to the present day have often experienced God as silent. In the Old Testament, the audible, visible presence of God gradually recedes as we progress from Genesis to the minor prophets. After delivering the Ten Commandments, God never speaks directly to the people collectively again. After that, the Israelites had prophets to mediate God's word to them, but most of the people never heard from God themselves. Individuals such as Elijah did, but the story we read from 1 Kings shows how even for him, it wasn't easy or obvious to detect. It wasn't there in the big manifestations, the whirlwind, the earthquake, or the fire. Elijah only heard God in the still small voice, or the gentle whisper, as the NIV puts it, and the NRSV calls it the sound of sheer silence. 2,000 years ago, for a brief human lifespan, God became audible again through his incarnate word, Jesus Christ. But since Jesus returned to his Father, we have been left with the Holy Spirit, who is often challenging to hear in the clamor of our world and of our interior lives. The silence of the pandemic should make it easier. Why doesn't it? We have an innate longing to connect with our Creator, to hear his voice, to receive his guidance, his answers to prayer. But sometimes we go through periods when all we experience is divine silence. We go looking in the words of Scripture or in the chambers of our interior castle, as Teresa of Avila calls it, for some sign that God is speaking to us. The Holy Spirit is nudging us. Jesus is calling us. But we hear nothing or can't be sure the words that come to mind aren't merely our own thoughts. The Psalms offer several examples of people grappling in silence, with the silence of God. We read a couple already. Here are two more from Psalm 44. "Awake, Lord, why do you sleep? Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression?" And from Psalm 109, "O God, whom I praise, do not remain silent." At times of great tragedy or suffering, it can seem as though God has nothing to say. The philosophers ask, where was God when? Jews such as Elie Wiesel have critiqued God's silence in the face of the Holocaust. In Shusaku Endo's novel, Silence, the missionary priest Sebastian Rodriguez, bemoaning the persecution of Christians in Japan, cries out, Lord, why are you silent? Why are you always silent? Even great saints experience this silence of God sometimes in the dark night of the soul. Mother Teresa wrote to Reverend Michael van der Peek in September 1979, Jesus has a very special love for you, but as for me, the silence and the emptiness is so great that I look and do not see, listen and do not hear. There are many possible explanations for God's silence and as many ways of responding to it, but I want to focus on three. First, sometimes in the Bible, God withdraws due to the wickedness of the people. In Deuteronomy, towards the end of the life of Moses, God says to him, on that day, I will surely hide my face on account of all the evil they have done by turning to other gods. And Amos, the larger context of one verse we read earlier, hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land. The time is surely coming, says the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. The Dutch Reformed theologian G.K. Burkhauer once wrote, every complaint about the silence of God must be actually a refusal to listen. If I am unable to sense God in the silence, is it because I have turned away from God or from those God calls me to care for? Do I need to repent? Second, mystical theology understands God's silence or hiddenness as drawing us to hunger after him in a kind of divine game of hide and seek. Song of Songs forms a background for this idea. From chapter 2, O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the covert of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice. And in chapter 3, upon my bed at night, I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but found him not. I called him, but he gave no answer. And then a few verses later, I found him whom my soul loves. I held him and would not let him go. The French mystic Madame Guyon comments on these verses. He, the beloved, wants to be sought in himself. And when she, the lover, has arrived in him, she will discover there another truth, which is that her beloved is everywhere and in everything. So an experience of divine silence can be an invitation to seek God all the more fervently. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Final reason we sometimes cannot hear God is there is too much noise in our world. Even in the silence of the pandemic, our own inner words and outer quiet distractions don't cease. François Fenelon, a late 17th century Catholic archbishop and spiritual writer, said, God never ceases to speak to us, but the noise of the world without and the tumult of passions within bewilder us and prevent us from listening to him. All must be silent around us, and all must be still within us, when we should listen with our whole souls to this voice. It is a still small voice and is only heard by those who listen to no other. Alas, how seldom it is that the soul is so still that it can hear when God speaks to it. And elsewhere he writes, how can you expect God to speak in that gentle and inward voice which melts the soul when you are making so much noise with your rapid reflections? Be silent, and God will speak again. Though the psalmists often bemoaned the silence of God, they also knew that it was only in silence that God can be known. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And Psalm 62:1, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. One of the hymns we didn't have time to sing was number 301, which is about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who abides with us, banishing unbelief and sadness. The refrain goes, blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, speaking peace to me, how the billows cease to roll. Silence can be a challenge to our faith in God's presence, but it can also be a calm reassurance in a troubled world. One final encouragement on how to cope with the silence of God is to know that Jesus understood that silence and experienced it with us. On the cross, he felt it profoundly as he cried out, quoting the Psalm passage we read earlier, Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? I leave you with a possible cliffhanger for part two. Charles Ringma, who used to teach at Regent, wrote a book called Seek the Silences with Thomas Merton. He says in the preface, seek the silences is not a call to a spirituality that draws us to God, but removes us from the pain, needs, and challenges of our world. This book does not simply have an inward spirituality in view, but we need to be still before God in order to hear and then do. Amen.